Hello, friends, and welcome to this, our podcast episode number 12 for Trinity Sunday. Thank you so much for joining us today. My name is Steve London. I serve at St. Thomas Anglican Church in Sherwood Park, Alberta. And I'm joined today, as always, by my colleagues, Michael Rolfe, assistant priest at St. Thomas, and Stephanie London, who's also assistant priest at St. Thomas, as well as having another role as rector of St. Columba. It is great to have you both here today. How are you doing? Maybe Stephanie, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I'm fine. I've been watching the news a lot this week. And of course, we know with the death of George Floyd and others that the human family is really feeling a lot of pain right now. And I guess I'm sitting with that this week. We keep getting stories coming out from different people of racism they've been victims of. And yeah, I'm sad that this is happening.
How about you, Michael?
Well, I'm quite a bit better than I have been because I've been able to re-engage with life a little bit more. Interestingly, because of the George Floyd-ish incident and all of the stuff that goes along with that, I've returned to my ministry with police officers and I've been able to engage more completely in that, and as well have been part of some very interesting conversations as a result. They of course are feeling the heat from the public a little bit, but at the same time they understand why the public is angry, and they seem to support the public in what is being said. So yes, it's been a time of great conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for doing that, Michael. That's a hugely important ministry. I think, like all of you, I'm sitting in the same place. I'm actually a little bit excited tonight. There's the march at the legislature, and Stephanie and I are going to go there tonight just as a way to listen and to hear and to be a prayerful presence and to see what happens. So that's sort of on my mind. Actually, right after this podcast, I'm going to get in my car and drive downtown to park, see if I can find some parking. As we turn to our podcast today, I'm going to confess it's a little bit different than our normal podcast. What we normally do, if you've been listening to our previous ones, is that we take a scripture coming up on the Sunday, usually the gospel, and we reflect on it. But today is different because we're not reflecting so much on a piece of scripture, but we are reflecting on a doctrine of the church, the Trinity. Some of you will be more or less familiar with that term. The reason is that in our church calendar, as it comes around every year, this Sunday is Trinity Sunday. It always is the Sunday following Pentecost, and it is the only Sunday dedicated to a doctrine of the church. What is a doctrine? Well, it's our belief about something, and this is quite the doctrine. It is our belief about the mystery of the eternal God that we are exploring. It's unbelievably exciting. More than a doctrine, of course, it's an invitation. It is a way of life. Now, there will be some scriptures that we might be referring to in the podcast because they are this Sunday's readings. And if you'd like to pause the podcast and look at the readings today, they are the creation story you find in Genesis 1:1, 2-4, Psalm number 8, 2 Corinthians 13, 11-13, quite short. And of course, the story of the Great Commission in Matthew 28:16-20. Now, I said earlier, we are looking at the doctrine of the Trinity. And one of the things Christianity does differently than other religions is we confess a doctrine that we too believe in one God, but we believe that this God is manifested in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And that is what we mean by the Trinity. Now, the reason we're looking at the readings of Scripture is because they look at the members of the Trinity and briefly at their work. But the reality is, interestingly, the concept of the Trinity is not in the Bible as a doctrine. Rather, it talks about God the Father. It talks, of course, about Jesus as the Son of God, who says he's equal with the Father, and talks about God the Holy Spirit. But how in the world do we put all of that together? The Bible doesn't really give us a clear answer. And I'm going to confess that is why I'm so glad that Michael and Stephanie are here to help me figure all of this out. Michael, maybe I will start with you, if that's okay. Why don't you tell us what Trinity Sunday is about?
Stephanie and I are both going to try to do what what you've been trying to do. One of the commentators reminds us that Scripture is, as she says, theocentric, as opposed to Christocentric. That is, it's all about God and not just about Jesus Christ. Now, we in recent weeks, well, gosh, for the last 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, we've been focusing on Jesus from his birth all the way through until his trial and crucifixion, and then his resurrection, and then finally his ascension with the coming of the Holy Spirit to empower the disciples. So it's been all about Jesus. And now this particular Sunday helps us to maybe refocus so that we understand that there's more to it. Believe it or not, there's more to it than Jesus. It's all about God. And that's what this Sunday is for.
Yeah, I always think that we've had Pentecost. Now the Holy Spirit is here. So now we can have Trinity Sunday. There's a sense of completeness, right?
Right.
It's been a part of our Anglican tradition for a long time. It was Thomas Becket who said that there should be a festival in honor of the Holy Trinity. He picked the day on which he had been consecrated as bishop, which was in fact the Sunday after Pentecost. So he said this should be a new festival on this day in honor of the Holy Trinity. And it's been part of our tradition ever since that.
Yeah, and one part I often like to say about the Trinity when I'm explaining it to people is I say it's not at all that we're trying to put God in a box or actually trying to understand God at all. In fact, it's the opposite. The reason is we call it a mystery. Part of it is this understanding is that we as humans are quite limited in understanding a being so vast, as we read in the creation story and in Psalm 8, someone who creates the stars and their billions and knows them all by name. Like this is a being of vastness and hugeness and power and being that we just don't even come close to. And so the early church actually, in trying to understand this, rather than trying to understand God and tie up all the knots, basically said, no, these are the parameters of how we talk about God, but we don't try to put them together. I often think of an analogy as which scientists talk about light being both particles and waves. We don't understand exactly how those get together. If we ask one set of questions, we talk about particles. If we ask another set of questions, we talk about waves. But there's a mystery there we don't understand. So we have to leave it sort of incomplete. And I see the Trinity as that. We just don't understand the God in God's essence. But this is how God has revealed himself to us. And so this is how we worship God, because this is how what the revelation is.
It always amazes me just how much literally blood, sweat, and tears were spilled over forming this doctrine. And a lot of that was people trying to nail down words that are expressing the inexpressible. And like you said, Steve, I think this is how God is revealed. But every image we have, every metaphor we have eventually just falls flat.
One of the jokes about Trinity Sunday is often the rector of a parish will appoint the curate to preach on Trinity Sunday so that he don't have to say anything. And the joke, of course, is that often people will use all kinds of metaphors to try to explain God, you know, that God is
the apple and the...
And, you know, ice being in three states and the clover with St. Patrick. And of course, the reality is all of them fall short. None of them capture the mystery, but we keep trying to find images that help us to understand this God of love.
In my day, it was the three-legged milking stool.
Yeah, so part of it also is that one of the, if I'm going to give a bit of an educational piece on the podcast, you know, you look at something like the Great Commission, Matthew 28, and Jesus asked them to baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so you see early on in the church, they have this idea of God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it actually took the church about 300 years to find a way to put that together. It's such a hard concept. And yet it's a living concept, right? We pray to God the Father. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. We've been redeemed by Jesus, who walks with us and has given us the vision of the kingdom of God. So it's not just a doctrine. It actually forms the way in which we live our Christian life.
I think that starts to get at the answer to the question, why a Trinity? Why not just say we have one God and, you know, that's how it is? Why not just say God is expressed in these three ways or something like that? Like, why nail down this three in one, one in three? What does that actually lead us to?
Each of the three has a power attached to it, which is manifested in different ways. God is as the passage from Genesis reminds us, the God of creation, the God who set it all in motion, and who does love what he has created. But then Jesus needed to come along, and Jesus too had power. Had power that was more specific. It was to heal and to help with recovery and to bring people into a relationship with God that had waned at that point. And how was this going to happen? And how was it going to continue? Well, then there's the power of the Spirit that is given to the disciples, now soon to be called apostles. They carried on and then handed it off to each generation, so that it is still given to us as members of the present generation. So there's power involved in all three, and it's important not to overlook that.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I love, so we do have the different God as creator, God as redeemer. One of the things I also love is God as the preserver, the sustainer, the one who holds all things into being. I often think of that as I'm on my walk and I'm, you know, looking at the trees and listening to the birds and feeling the wind, especially as I have to, you know, get out of my house just to get a break or something like that. And just all this is held into existence by God. And mm-hmm. I think Trinity speaks to that, right? God, the Holy Spirit, holding all things in existence, very much present here and now.
That's right. Creation hasn't stopped yet.
That's right.
God continues to create.
Yes, I actually love that point, that creation is still unfolding.
And I think creation also points us towards something that's really important in the doctrine of the Trinity, that God is expressed. God expresses himself, and I'm using him just for lack of a more inclusive pronoun, but God expresses himself creatively. And part of that comes, or in fact, that comes from the reality that God is at his heart a community. And I think that's what the doctrine of the Trinity gets at. Like when we say that God is love, we don't mean that God just has warm, fuzzy feelings towards us. The nature of God is this generous self-giving that has a giver and a receiver within it. God isn't just this monolith, but God exists in this family, in this community, and that's constantly self-giving and self-expressing and creating.
Yeah, what I love about that is that, you know, when we talk about love and community, it's not just that these are words we use, but this is actually built into the fabric of being, because that is who God is. I think you're right, Stephanie. That's one of my favorite insights about the Trinity. So as we come to the end of our podcast, I'm wondering, what do you think people might take from this idea of the doctrine that often might seem abstract?
I guess I would just continue that idea of God as family and community and say that the highest thing that we can aim at ourselves is that same generous, self-giving love. It's the first fruit that Paul talks about, the first fruit of the Spirit, love. And the Trinity shows us how God shows us what that looks like.
I think for me, I would take two things from this. One, very apropos of today, you know, we often talk about God being unity and diversity. So both God is united, one God, but there's also a diversity. As Michael, you said, there's different powers. They have different roles, and yet they always act in unison. And I was really struck by the story of St. Sergius in the Russian Orthodox Church, when he built his church, he named it after the Holy Trinity because he wanted that to be a sign for the whole human family, that we should all live in unity and diversity, that we are all members of one family, and that the Holy Trinity mirrors for us what our human community should look like. And then the second thing I took also from the Russian Orthodox Church is there's this wonderful icon by a man named Rublev coming out of the Russian Orthodox tradition, the Middle Ages. And he had what's called the Old Testament Trinity. It's coming from the story of Abraham and meeting three guests. And Rublev paints these. And it's clear that the three guests coming to Abraham in the Genesis story are angels, but also God. And so he presents these three angels as called the Old Testament Trinity, and they're sitting around a table, and there's lots of symbolism and I won't go into, but there's one part of the table that's open. And the idea is that they are sitting in a community of love, like you, Stephanie, I think were suggesting, and we are invited into that community of love. And if I were to say what the goal of the Christian life is, it is to be in that community of God, that community of love. And so there is an invitation to us there.
I just want to say that for me, it's a constant reminder that the God that we worship is the one who is active in everything at all times, in one way or another.
That's a great place to end on. Well, again, thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We really appreciate, we enjoy making these podcasts and having these conversations together. Of course, we love to extend the conversation as well. If you have thoughts about the Trinity or something that came up, we would love to hear from you. Please just send me an email, revstevelondon@gmail.com. Until next week, we would like to say, hope you have a blessed week, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Have a good week. Bye now.